All right, welcome to Rabbitohs TV. Jamie Simpson, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, bud. Just trying to stay dry down here in rainy Sydney, mate. Now, where are you from, and what was it like growing up there?
Mate, I'm from Rocky. I'm still in Rockhampton, so that's central Queensland. It's still bloody hot here. So, well, you've got rain going on down there. It's about 34 degrees here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So, wow. Yeah, love growing up here. Left pretty early on, though. Left school at probably 18 and went down to Brisbane. So it's like a rubber band. The further you go, the quicker you come back.
Yeah, right, mate. So tell us a bit about the school days, mate, and some of the people that spotted you up there.
So I went to St. Brendan's College here in Yeppoon, which is about a half an hour from Rocky, where I live now. So it's known for its – well, it was known for its rugby league pedigree and still is today. So went down there on a scholarship to Terry Hansen, the first 13 coach, got me down there and kind of did 6 years of footy because I was crook. So did 6 years of schooling instead of the five. But I got noticed by Cyril Connell, actually, in grade 11.
Legend of the game, yeah.
Yeah, legend of the game, him and Ivan Henjak. So they quickly signed me up to Bronx, and that's where I went straight out of school.
Okay, and you mentioned you were sick, mate. What happened there, mate? It was much publicised down here in Sydney that you went through a battle with cancer, eh?
Yeah, so I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. I think I was misdiagnosed in grade 7 and then and properly diagnosed around grade 10. The further I get into my life, the worse the dates get. So I can blame that on hip head knocks too, I reckon.
Yeah, right. Okay. And how did that affect your schooling and your footy, stuff like that?
Listen, it affected it a lot. I think it started basically when I was grade 10. So I didn't do too much of schooling at the end of grade 10, grade 11. Played my last game, I think it was in grade 11 before I went to chemotherapy. So I did 12 months of chemotherapy here in Rocky and didn't get to go to school that often at all. It was probably every second week in between the chemos I got a chance to go to school. But what happened, I was so sick that I didn't even want to leave the house. So I spent most of my time at home, spent a couple of days at school. Just as I start feeling better, I'll be straight back into chemo. So the boys at school probably took it a little bit harder than me. They didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I bet. How many years did that go on for until you sort of started to kick it, mate, and started to...
So it was like, it would have been probably a two-year kind of thing. So 12 months of chemotherapy and then another 6 months. And what happened was after the 12 months, the tumour, which I had in my groin, which was the size of my fist at the time, it had shrunk. So the doctors were happy and they were like, yeah, you know what, we'll keep going on with the chemo and see what happens. But what happened, it shrunk but then came back again. So what they did is they flew me down to Brisbane in the Royal Women's Brisbane Hospital there when it was brand new, and I got to break that in for them, and I got a stem cell transplant. So I got my own stem cell. So they took blood out of me, they pumped it through this machine, took all the bad stuff out, and then pumped it straight back into me, which, like, in the footy terms, it just basically reboots your immune system and you go from there. So what I got through that, though, was pneumonia, and I was in hospital for about 2 months. So, yeah, it was a fair ordeal.
Yeah, well, especially around that age, a teenage age, where you should be partying, chasing chillers, and you're in and out of hospital, mate. I hope you made up for it.
No, 100%. But I think it was a blessing in disguise, hey? It was a blessing in disguise because I was so young, I didn't fully understand exactly what was going on. So I think it was probably harder on mum and those around me than it was me. I think all I wanted to do through the whole thing was just be playing football. So, well, that was always in the back of my mind. Every night before I went to sleep, I'd be like, I'd pray to God and say, mate, I'd just pray that I could one day play in the NRL. So obviously I was lucky enough to do that. So
so how did you end up at the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs, mate, from Rocky?
Well, just like you said, so I didn't get to go through my late teenage years where I was out having a good time, so I was getting sick. So what happens was I left school, went down to Brisbane, got caught up in the nightlife a little bit too much down there. And at the time, Wayne Bennett was still coach. And what used to happen is we'd all go in for our contract talks, like literally one after the other. And I was at the end of my two-year contract at Broncos, and Wayne pulled me in. He goes, you know, Jamie, you could stay, but you won't be top 30. And it probably won't be any good for you if you do stay. So if you've got any other options, I'd say take it. And Mark Hughes, contacted me like probably 2 weeks beforehand, and I was seriously thinking about leaving anyway. But this just gave me the little push along to go down the south. I met with JT and had a coffee in Redfern, and the rest is history.
Yeah, right. Okay. And obviously, is that the off-season you've been over Jacksonville as well?
I joined at the right time. Yeah, I joined.
Talk us through that off-season. They haven't gone back since, so you landed at the right time, mate.
Yeah, so I think 2007, I believe. I think I come down, so it was the off-season there. We went over to Jacksonville, played Leeds, and that was my first taste of flying overseas, and I got the bug, and I've been going back ever since. But you know, obviously, COVID's knocked that on the head.
Yeah, I bet, mate. You must have played in reserve grade to start with, because you didn't debut till a couple of rounds into the season against the Warriors, mate. That was a big game. I mean, not only that, Chris Sandow debuted, I think. Another Queenslander, Luke Capewell, he was only in his second game. The club hadn't won a lot of games at that stage, only a couple of wins.
Yeah, I think JT was blood in a few of the young ones through there. And as you said, I made my debut with Chris, so I was pretty lucky to do that. I did come through the reserve grade ranks. I played for North Sydney, and I think it might have been my first or second game for them. I smashed my thumb. So, I caught a Bennett's and a Rolando's fracture. So I went in to tackle someone, hit him straight in the elbow and smashed it to pieces. And the doc at the time said there was nothing wrong with it, so put me back on. Then I went and seen the South Sydney doc. We got x-rays and smashed it to pieces. So I had to get surgery. Then literally, I probably would have been about 2 months later. I'd get back into rehab, played a few games for North Sydney, and JT pulled me aside and said, "Oh, mate, I want to put you in." I was like, "Who's missing out?" He said, "Oh, Nigel." I was like, really? I said, "What, don't you want to go in?" He said, put me in, I'll be right. So, I think I smashed my thumb again probably 2 to 3 games into it. So I bent all the screws into it, and then, 10 weeks later, I had to get surgery on it again.
Yeah, it's big shoes to fill there, Nigel Vungana, a bit of a legend of the NRL, mate, but you certainly filled them, mate. In that first game, it was he's come from behind a couple of times, and it must have been a fun game to be a part of. Little Chrissy, kick and a field goal.
It was amazing.
What was that game like to play with Chrissy, mate? Because he played the game in a great spirit.
Yeah, I think that's what I like. That's why I think me and Chris, we had a good combination out there. Like, we didn't even have to talk to each other to know what was going on. I just look at him and, I knew what was going to happen, when he was going to kick it or cut out pass or what have you. So, debuting in New Zealand was tough. Obviously growing up watching the Kiwis play and going up against bloody big Ruben Wiki was very daunting. So, but mate, and to debut away from home, Souths were great too. And they got Mum over, put her up, and she got to watch me live too. So I was very, very nervous. And a close friend, family friend of ours, Scotty Minto. So I rang him up and I was like, "Mate, got any tips?" And he said, "Just go hard."
Oh, and that you did, mate. You're a fantastic player for the Rabbitohs there. Mate, you also built up a pretty good combination there with Bo Champion. I've got a lot of memories here. You used to hold the ball with one hand a lot, didn't you, and sort of show it around and flick it out the back and throw it either way. Where'd you learn that style, mate?
Weirdly enough, I don't know why. I think it was even my right hand, so the one that had the broken finger on it too. I don't know. I think just with confidence I did it. I think I never really was taught it. And JT, once I started doing it, he was like, "Oh, just be careful." And then after a while, he was like, "Nah, back yourself." So we started doing grip practice and stuff of training. I got a small hand, so don't ask me how I did it either. I think a little bit of grip spray might have helped me.
Yeah, I was looking at some highlights of you, and there was one try. You held the ball up with one hand. They all hung back on you, and you went straight through and scored. So it used to baffle the opposition a little bit there, I think, mate.
Yeah, the old slide hand. Look at the ball and then go the other way. But I did have a good combination with Champ, and he's a great bloke on and off the field too. So that was the great thing about being at South. I think coming from a small town in Rocky and then going to Brisbane, even though it's a big town, I call it a big little town, because every time you go somewhere, you're seeing someone you know. But when you go to Sydney, away from your support network and that, it was really hard to get down there. And then once I got there, mate, the South family took me in, and it was very, very easy.
Yeah, how was that transition, mate? Because it doesn't get any more populated than Sydney, but not only that, right in Redfern. Where did you end up settling yourself, mate? Where did you end up living when you stayed down here?
On the beaches. Hey, I was Malabar and Maroubra, so I didn't go too far away from there. So, but when I first moved down, I was over at North Sydney. So I was staying there with a Manly legend, Bobby Saunders. He took me in, and I was driving from North Sydney every morning to train, and it was taking me forever. And literally I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I could do this much longer. But I ended up moving into Malabar, and I didn't move away from it. So it was either Maroubra or Malabar.
Well, I went for a swim there yesterday, mate. There you go. I only live a couple of k's from there. And Bo Champion's actually my real estate agent. He's about to sell my house next week. So it's a small world, mate.
It is a small world. He can talk the talk. He can sell us to an Eskimo.
Our sponsor there, NG Farrow Real Estate. That's who he works for. But the best real estate in the area. Mate, I might just get your thoughts on some players that you were lucky enough to play with. Like, we'll start with Roy Asatasi, mate. What did Roy bring to the team, mate, when he jumped in?
Oh, professionalism, hey. Like, I went from watching Roy on the TV and thinking how much of a gun is he, and then actually going down to South and seeing how professional he is on and off the field. I think when he come to South, I think you can see that's when things obviously started to change, and players started to sign and things like that. So he was like the catalyst for that turnaround and the professionalism at training. You know, a lot of the forwards and the backs, everyone fed off that.
Yeah, he was. Fantastic to get him over. Been a lifelong South fan, and I think from that day onwards, we started being not only winning games, but we've been competitive, because in the early 2000s, we weren't real successful. A couple of seasons there, we only won two or three games there on occasions. But what about bringing over one of the true legends of the game, and he's the top two or three pommies I've ever seen play the game. Sam Burgess made the impact he had on the club.
It was great to play with Sam. I think one thing you knew when you had Sam and Roy in the team is you had great go forward. So it always set the platform for the backs. And I think that's where South obviously played their best footy, is when, you know, everyone's going forward for them. I think, you know, look at Cody Walker. If he had that these days, he'd be carving up even more.
Oh, yeah, I bet Cody'd love to have him back in the team. And not only that, another South Sydney legend, the 336 gamer, John Sutton, mate. What was it like playing with Big Sut?
Oh, Big Sut. Yeah, no, it was good. I actually roomed with him when we went to America. So, having Sut around was amazing. I think, you know, he was always good fun in the dressing room, and playing with him, he always kept you on your feet. So, the whole group of players there was really amazing. And even when Wingy come over, I think that star factor kind of went up even more. And seeing him drive his Maserati to training just made you want you to get one too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I suppose you left in 2010, and only a couple of years later they started to get on that real trajectory where they won themselves into a couple of prelim finals. I think it's been seven prelim finals since 2012. So you must be happy to see the club in the position they are, not only on the field but off the field, mate.
Oh, super happy. I think I left too early. I didn't really want to leave. I think I listened to my managers more than anything I probably should have. But to see him kick on and do that, it was amazing. Like, I'm a South fan through and through now. You know, I'll bleed red and green to the day I die. So, mate, watching him win the grand final was something amazing. And now every time I watch him, I get cranky. So, the refs are ruining the game. So, I can't say too much more on that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get on to the South fans eventually. But what about the state of the game right now? The six again rule, I'm not a big fan of it. I just think the teams at the bottom of the competition just struggled at the back end of the year. They couldn't get out of their own end, because the good teams would sit there and just do an old school, like playing touch footy. They tend shooters up at the offside all the time. They're happy to give away the six again because they knew they'd just pin you in that area.
I've got to be honest with you, I don't. Well, going past. I've got to be honest with you, I don't like the state of the game at the moment. I don't like the six again rule, as you said. When I first heard they were changing the rules, it sounded great. It was like, oh, they're bringing the little blokes back into the game, it'll be great. But now it's just turned into, you know, you take away a lot of the talent of those younger people, because what it is, it's just turning into a game of athletes. There's no true football players anymore. So, see, it's a shame. And I sit down, I try and watch a full game, but then someone gets sent off. I think, what has there been, 21 send-offs or sin bins this season? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there was a game last weekend, the Roosters and Cowboys. The Cowboys had three blokes sent off for 10 minutes in the bin. It just ruins the game. Like a team like the Roosters, I hate seeing them get a leg up, and it doesn't matter who it is, really.
Especially amongst the Roosters.
Yeah, a couple of them were pretty innocuous, to be honest. They've made the game. Well, I don't want to say the word soft, because there's some big, strong athletes out there, and getting in front of some of them boys wouldn't be easy, mate. But Just what about injuries, mate? What sort of injuries did you we spoke of, you spoke about the hand injury you had. Did you have too many other injuries in the game? But
oh, I had plenty. I don't think there was an off season that I had that I didn't have surgery for. So I think through my playing career, which spanned, I think, 8 or so years, I think I had about 10 surgeries in that. So the last surgery I had was for osteitis pubis, which is overworking of the tendons in your groin and gut. So that was the one that made me pull the pin and come back from England. So I think, obviously, with what I went through when I was a lot younger, having cancer, it didn't obviously have the best effect on my body. And I knew going into playing NRL that I wasn't going to have a long career. So I just wanted to make the most of it while I could.
And you certainly did, mate. And I did touch on the fans before. You did speak about the transition from coming from Rocky down to the Big Smoke in Sydney, mate. What about, you got any stories about some of the fans you've met around the country or in Sydney and stuff? Because that is a very unique club, South Sydney, because of the fans and the rich tradition and the history, mate.
I'll be honest with you. The fans are amazing. Like, even to this day, I still get, Burrow fans, South fans, just in general, hit me up on Facebook, comment on my pictures, just seeing how I'm going. So I don't think any club in the NRL has any fans like us. So it's a great credit to the club, and I think it's a great credit to the players that they're still hanging around. And I think the old star of Russell Crowe got him in a little bit too.
Oh, yeah, big Rusty, mate. Oh, you mentioned Rusty, mate. Have you got any Book of Feud stories or Rusty stories? You must have had a relationship with your mate, surely.
I'll get in trouble if I mention some of it. No, I had a pretty good relationship with Rusty. So I went to a few dinners with him, and obviously to Coffs Harbour for our preseason trip. So I had a lot of fun, and I think that's what I found great about South was obviously all the players was great, but also having Rusty involved and always given kind of that star feeling around. Just it really kicked on those young players a lot. Like, they just wanted to be the man there. So, and getting to go and do America, we wouldn't have done that without him. So, yeah.
Nah, you sort of take some mighty rabbit eyes to the world, mate. Now, what are you up to these days, mate? I won't take up too much more of your time, mate.
No, you're all right. I work for Dharamal Community Youth, so an Indigenous organisation up here. I've got a couple of programs in school. So I teach a program called Tackle Six. It's like a resilience-based anti-bullying program, but I hook them in rugby league. So I tell them about my history, tell them who I am and what I've done, and do some core skills with primary school kids and some traditional Indigenous games. So I'm getting to pass on some knowledge from football there and give back to the community up here, because rugby league is struggling up here at the moment. I want to get the girls and the boys back into it as much as possible. And I'm also part of the NRL Rise program, so I'm the head coach up here. And we get to, take those 13, 14, 15-year-olds and try and kick them on to the next level.
Fantastic, mate. Sounds like you're doing great things up there, mate. I'm a little bit like South Cares. It's really proud of some of the achievements of South Cares. We started in 2002. We've got a lot of school programs. I think they end up having 16,000 people run through their programs. So sounds like you're doing something pretty similar up there, mate. So,
well, it's because of South Cares. I literally do what I do, because I think when I was down there, John Hutchinson was running, well, one of the big heads of South Cares, and he got me doing a lot of the schools like in LARPA and so forth. And from there I got a taste for it, and it was just the next logical thing for me to do after football was to carry that on up here in Rocky or wherever I was. So I was 2 years I was Ken Stevens medalist nominee for South. So I think giving back to the community has always been something that I've wanted to do, and I'm just lucky enough that I get to do it in my hometown, really.
There's nothing will give you more satisfaction than helping out your own community and other community. You can do any, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not helping people, I don't think that you're putting too much meaning in your life. So, look, I won't take up too much more time, as I said. Thank you for joining us on Rabbitohs TV, Jamie Simpson.
No problems, mate. If you ever need anything, just give us a holler.
Too easy, brother.